Well, China's military budget is second only to that of the United States. And what we saw today in Beijing was all the kinds of armoury that makes Washington very nervous. Huge, nuclear, hypersonic, supersonic, and with immense strategic reach. Let's break all that down a little bit. Antoine Bondaz is a foreign and security policy researcher with the French independent think tank, the Foundation for Strategic Research. I asked him first about the single biggest weapon we saw for the first time today, the enormous Dongfeng 41.
So it's a very, very important ICBM, so an intercontinental ballistic missiles. It's basically the first time that China have such a huge road mobile and solid field ICBM that could carry on up to 10 warheads, but especially carry on what we call penetration aids. The key objective for China is to make sure that they can defeat US ballistic missile defense and reach actually any targets within the US mainland.
Now, another first today was a hypersonic ballistic nuclear missile, the DF-17. Some say this is the one that's more of a threat to regional stability. Tell us about that and about that strategic implication.
So the DF-17 is quite important, that the first time that actually any country is displaying hypersonic technology during a military parade. So that's a first. That's an opportunity actually for China to present itself at the forefront of global innovation. What is very, very important for regional purposes is we do not know yet whether it's a nuclear capable or dual used missile, conventional and nuclear capable. What is sure for China is that they want to make sure that they can target any potential targets around China, especially potentially along Taiwan or maybe moving targets in the sea in a very short span of time.
Now, there's a lot more, of course, to China's materiel, but when you looked at that parade today, where did you see China as a fighting force, as a military power on the globe compared particularly to the United States?
I mean, what is very important once again, and the Chinese have warned us before, that first the DF-41, that's Chinese nuclear deterrent, even if it's not sea-based or fully sea-based yet, is still very, very credible. The second one is everything about hypersonic vehicle that China is innovated and innovating at the same pace as the US. And the third one, of course, is to remind everyone that the army is the army of the party and that is not the army of the country.
Is there anything else that China might be working on that we didn't see today? Of course, we didn't see cyber weapons, for example. What else would you point out?
What is very important is all the work of China in terms of cyber weapons, in terms of space weapons. And in the coming 10 to 20 years, Chinese space capacities will be something to watch because it's going to be very, very important for the US, but also for any other space power. It's important for Europe. It's going to be very important for Japan, but also for Australia, of course.
And in the post-Cold War period, we've been used to multilateral, sometimes bilateral arms control agreements, but an arms control framework to try to rein in the potential for disaster. Where does China sit on the question of arms control?
So far, China has refused to enter the arms control logic and to enter any multilateralized arms control agreements, be it the INF Treaty, be it potentially in the coming month, the New START Treaty. China considers that its arsenal is limited and that there is no reason for China to join a Russia-US arms control agreements. That's actually going to be a key question in the coming years, whether we can kind of rein in or at least make sure that Chinese ballistic, including ballistic capacities, might have actually a limit and will not further develop the same way they've developed the last 15 years.
Antoine Bondaz, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Antoine Bondaz is a foreign and security policy researcher with the French independent think tank, the Foundation for Strategic Research.